Welcome to a special drive time this evening. I'm Greg Frizzell, the general manager and owner of the Mount Washington Radio Group, 93.5 WMWV FM, Magic 104.5 on 98.1 FM, and Easy 95.3 FM. I'm here with Gino Devaney this evening. Hello, Gino.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Thank you for helping me produce the show tonight.
No problem.
And I'd like to thank our drive time sponsors, the law offices of Cooper, Cargill, Chant, Leone McDonald and Roberts, Certified Public Accountants, and Settlers Green. And now I'd like to invite in our very special guest tonight. It is Congressman Chris Pappas. Welcome back, Congressman.
Thanks. It's great to be on the show, and I hope you all are doing well.
Hey, you as well. So let's get started talking, since I know you're very busy right now. Talking about the latest bill you introduced, I believe it was this past Wednesday, to make 501c and 6 organizations eligible for PPP loans. Can you talk about some of that and how it will help our business community and who will be those loans will be available to?
Yeah, well, thanks for the question. That's, these small business programs have been a lifeline during this pandemic as we see total economic disruption for our Main Street businesses. And we've seen over 20,000 small businesses and nonprofit organizations access the Paycheck Protection Program to the tune of about $2.5 billion over the last several weeks, just right here in New Hampshire.
Wow.
One of the groups that has been left out is our local chambers of commerce. And I've been talking with the Mount Washington Valley Chamber and a number of other chambers across the state that are seeing a disruption in their revenue. And they're so important to be able to ensure that our small businesses can get back up on their feet once this is over. So they're an important resource, and we want to ensure that they as well can participate in this program. So we introduced a bill to change the Paycheck Protection Program so that these particular organizations, local chambers, and other 501c6 groups can participate in that program as well. They're just important for the overall economic climate and do such great work to provide resources to our local businesses. So I don't think we can leave them out. There are also other changes we need to make to that program and others to make sure that there are as many tools on the table as possible. What's been clear to me in conversations with businesses in the Valley and across the district is that it's going to take a lot longer than just a few weeks before things are back to normal. It's going to be hard to get workers back and certainly customers back in through the door, even when it's safe to do so. So we need to look for ways to provide more flexibility through these small business programs to keep people on payrolls and to bring them back in a safe manner. I know there's been a reopening commission that the governor has set up, and folks have been participating in that exercise. We're in the very early stages of reopening, but we've got to make sure that these local businesses have all the tools possible. So we're hoping that when we return to Washington next week, we can pass an additional bill with further support that will meet the needs based on what we've been hearing for feedback.
Now, will those be kind of in the form of like a PPP extension?
Well, we're hoping that, right now the program has basically a time horizon that goes through the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly going to take longer than that for, workers to come back, for customers to come back through the door. So we want to give businesses more time to be able to gear back up safely and take full advantage of the forgiveness provision that is in that program. In addition to that, there are these disaster loans that are out there that provide an upfront grant for businesses. That's been oversubscribed. So I think we need, in addition to making some changes in terms of timing on all this, look to provide some more resources so that the nearly 30 million small businesses across the country that are really the heart and soul of our economy can get access.
Okay. And also being hit pretty hard by the COVID-19 crisis are local governments. And I actually believe it was today yourself and Annie Custer continued your call to House leadership to include robust funding for local governments in the next COVID-19 response package. I know you've joined with local mayors, county commissioners, town officials from across the state, sent a letter to the House leadership urging them to ensure local governments have access to federal aid moving forward. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Well, I think it's important that we don't put communities in the position of having to drastically cut services, police, fire, EMS, education, in the middle of a pandemic like this, or make the tough choice of having to potentially even raise property taxes. So as revenue is being disrupted right now to communities, to counties, to the state of New Hampshire and other, you know, governmental entities across the country. The federal government needs to be the backstop for that. We provided some good support for New Hampshire in the CARES Act. New Hampshire received $1.25 billion that it's now deciding how to spend on relief and response efforts. There have been some great announcements from the state about how to do that. But we're going to need additional resources in order to just keep the services moving forward in the absence of, you know, local and state tax revenues. We're seeing our, you know, business taxes dry up at the state level. You know, meals and rooms taxes are way down. I imagine this is going to have a tremendous impact on local property taxes, parking revenues, other fees that communities generate to pay the bills. So Annie Custer and I decided to get together on a letter since we were hearing this feedback from folks across the state and write to House leadership saying that in the next package, we'd like direct support for state, county, and local government and allow those communities to be able to flex that money to deal with the lost revenue that they're facing. In the CARES Act, the funding was targeted to governments of a size greater than 500,000. So that missed all the cities and towns and counties in New Hampshire.
Right.
We want to make sure it's going to even our small and rural communities because they're experiencing loss right now and that they have flexibility moving forward. So this is important. It's bipartisan. And I hope it's not controversial. You know, we've heard some say, you know, let states go bankrupt. States didn't create this problem. States balance their budget each and every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's up to the federal government to try to provide some help so that the pressure isn't on local property taxpayers and local services.